All right. Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day. You're best friends.
We're also dancing at each other.
That's right.
Zoom. Do you remember that show? I'm gonna zoom, 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 zoom.
Of course I remember that show. That was an awesome show. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay, that was a good show. Well, here we are back again with another pandemic podcast.
Oh, I know.
But you know what? I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I love podcasting. A lot of people are podcasting from their closets and their basements. And look at us. Here we are. Like,
zooming.
On the regular level of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
In your office. I'm in my living room.
Yeah, I just went and got my wine delivery.
Yes. She ended the last podcast by kicking me off.
Sorry, that was, it happened.
Emergency, okay? Well, this week's letter, Joss, is very brief.
Yeah.
I'll read it. How's that?
Okay, great.
It's in response to the episode called Friends of Habit. And it says, dear ladies, I guess I fall into that category. When there are slim pickings because of where you live or the politics of the town, you connect on some level. Maybe you both saw the Grateful Dead in the 80s or had some parallel experiences. But manifesting that friendship never really gets its chance because there's a cast of others who's already there. And each and every time you all get together, it's the same scene, superficial. Highlight reels of the kids, comparisons of the other moms in school. There you are with your husband, looking for a fun night away from the kids. And on your way home, all you do is question why you bothered. You think of all the things that were lacking rather than what the friendship is supposed to bring. You feel cheap and shallow and disingenuous. Sincerely, Ernestine, not her real name. I know this is a really brief letter, but I loved it, Joss.
Yeah.
It really spoke to me because, it sounds like Ernestine is trying to do the best she can with the material she has.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, being from a small town, I instantly relate. It's not like you can audition 20 friends and see which one you really are going to bond with.
Right.
That's not how it works. You meet someone at the library, they invite you to their book club, and you have 10 people, and maybe one of them is someone you're going to bond with, but you have to endure the other nine, maybe.
Right.
Or she says, the things you have in common bond you. Like maybe you're campaigning for the same first selectman candidate, or you both love the Grateful Dead. I personally have never been able to make it through an entire Grateful Dead song.
Same. Sorry, I apologize for all those fans out there. Same.
Yeah. We just missed it, I think,
Yeah, like, that wasn't our time, maybe?
Young and too old, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like what Ernestine says about, like, you enter into the group, but there's already an existing cast and a dynamic. And so you're just, I guess what I'm getting from Ernestine is she's not ever really feeling special or able to separate from the group.
Yeah, I think it sounds like to me that she's not entirely fulfilled by the friendship group that she has.
Oh, yeah, not at all. I mean, she says she feels shallow and disingenuous.
I feel like she must be exhausted. Why bother going to this? And it's just her and her husband, lonely and exhausted is how I picture her.
But I get it because of my life in a small town. There are the 20 moms of the kids in your kids' class, and that's how you meet people. And I think especially like if you move into a town, it can be especially hard.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm here and I have a third grader or whatever. The cliques have already formed and maybe you'll be invited to join one, but it's going to be a little harder when you make friends with a group of people.
Right.
real friendship. And I loved how she, she described this because it just sounded so real. The highlight reels of the kids, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing I'm picturing it, they all get together as a group. You know, the ladies go into the kitchen with their Chardonnay and the guys probably stay in the living room and yeah. The same old thing every time. And I think she's, really struggling to find a more sincere and genuine connection.
Yeah.
And
I think too, like that dynamic, my sister-in-law was telling me recently about like these, she was sitting in the bleachers, watching her kids swim with the other swim moms. And there was a pretty hilarious competition of whose kid read earliest. Like,
yeah,
Talbert was reading at 8 months. And like, we started on Tolkien when little, Gemma was three. And, and sister-in-law said, well, Graham, I'm really proud of Graham. He just learned to read last week. And Graham is 17. So she don't play, right? She doesn't play. My kid is better, BS. And but at the highlight reels of the kids, it's like the Facebook life.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my precious angel is the smartest. And yes, Yale has already called. I don't care that she's in fourth grade. And then the comparisons of the other moms at school just sounded so bitchy.
Yeah.
Yet these are the people she has.
Yeah. How else will she... Like, what does she do to get out, to get away from the kids for a minute?
So many times, I'm making assumptions, but when I was the mother of young children, going out was so exciting. I was home with the kids. I loved it. I loved them. But like hiring a babysitter and going out, you felt so grown up and so cool. And then you'd have maybe a crappy time and you'd think like, you might try to convince yourself like, maybe this is just how it is, how grown-ups socialize, or maybe it wasn't that bad, but you're thinking like, I would have rather stayed home.
Yeah. I can't believe I put on lipstick for this.
I can't believe I paid $40 to a babysitter.
I know.
There's a strange man in my yard.
Uh-oh.
I think it's the guy who's going to chip up all the brush.
Well, that's nice.
Well, I just waved. He just walked past the house. Very handsome. if I'm murdered in the next few minutes, how many views would our podcast get then?
I mean, I'm zooming so I could see the guy. I could testify at the trial.
Oh my God. Right. I mean, we are very pleased with the number of listeners we have for Crappy Friends, but if I'm murdered,
oh God, come on.
Crazy, right? Not to mention book sales.
Oh my God. My God. Yeah.
Well, he seems to just be a pleasant landscaper. Sorry.
Yeah. No murder today.
Back to you, Ernestine. So I think that I feel for you because I think it can be really hard to make friends when you feel the groups are established and the loyalties have been declared. And in this case, no friendship is better than a crappy friendship.
I think so. I think, you really want a genuine connection and you're just not going to get it here at this moment. Who knows what will happen once the kids grow up and people start, coming back to things, looking for things that interest them outside of, making and maintaining a home. But until that point, I really feel like Ernestine, you have to really think out of the box, outside of the box, if you want to have that genuine connection, which is what she's clearly looking for. Like seems like she's tired of the whole, I'm going to get dressed and go out and listen to the same stories over and over again and then come home deal. She sounds tired of that.
I think that, it's funny. I have a friend that I made in a bigger group, and the head of that group was someone we both had mixed feelings about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it was, I'm just going to make this up, like a group of women concerned about public spaces in my town, right? Okay. So we all have this in common and we're all invited to this woman's house. And, we get together every month for this cause.
And she needs to think outside of the box in terms of getting the fulfillment that she's not getting from her friend group. I think she can keep the friend group, but lower the expectation about what she's going to get out of that friend group.
Yeah.
And then find another activity or something, maybe even something online, that will help fulfill you a little bit more, that will get your brain juices going. Or, you know, maybe it's a knitting group that you like, you meet online, you Zoom, you knit. It could be almost anything. I think Meetup is still good for that. You could still try Meetup for that.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, what happened to me in this, you know, public spaces group in town was that every once in a while, our host would say something irritating or off topic, or, you know, she was that person. Yeah. You know, like, I think I want to sum up what you just said to spend time talking and feel important. Mm-hmm. And I found myself exchanging looks with this person, let's call her Sarah, that like Sarah and I would both be like trying not to smile, or our eyes met like, oh, I'm not the only one who is, you know, irritated or amused by this. And so we started to kind of float together a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the next meeting we sat next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like I was doodling something, which I do when I'm bored, and I doodled like a daisy. I'm not very talented, but she's like, she said something like, wow, you know, it's a good thing you're on this committee if you have artwork like that. And we just like snickered together at my own expense. But I thought, oh, I like her. She's snarky, you know? But we were kind of suspicious of, like, if you're her friend, then do I want to be friends with you?
Right.
You know? And it turned out that, yeah, we did become friends. It took a while. Mm-hmm. We were very careful with each other, because the red flag was, you're friends with this person who's not someone I choose to spend a lot of time with.
Right.
What we did have is like, oh, we're interested in this cause. And it took a while. You always talk about vetting, Joss. And so we vetted each other just in those small ways. What do you think is funny? What bumper sticker is on your car? What are your children? We ended up having kids roughly the same age, you know. And so we could talk about safe subjects and sort of feel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually we became friends. And I think that Ernestine might have that opportunity.
Yeah.
This set group that she, are, you know, she feels like they're already set to keep an eye out. You know, maybe you're never going to go out on one of these meetings again, but maybe there's someone else who's also rolling their eyes and, or just like excusing herself when talk comes to gossiping about the other moms.
Right.
Or, you know, rolling your eyes when it comes out that Thisbe started reading when she was in the womb, you know.
<That's> awesome.
Thank you. I'm really good at those names. Caitlin and Thisbe, my twins.
Awesome. I'm like spraying all over my laptop as I'm saying that.
So keep an eye out, Ernestine. Try to see if there's someone that you might have a genuine connection with. And if not, you know, do what Joss suggested. Go outside the box. Mm-hmm. I always think that volunteering for causes
absolutely
is such a good way to meet friends, you know, whether it's a political cause or a save the forest cause, mm-hmm. or, you know, dog rescue, whatever it is. You instantly have a connection on some sort of value level.
Exactly.
You know, let's make this shelter a no-kill shelter. Well, I care about animals and I don't think they should be euthanized. You immediately have something in common with them.
Yep. I love that idea.
You know, and I think, you know, it's just easier to find like-minded people if you're not casting too broad a net.
Right.
And honestly, you know, all you really need are one or two good friends.
You don't need a whole group. I mean, you can use the existing group that you have for that. That you just, like I said, just lower your expectations a little bit. You're going to put on the makeup, you're going to pay for the babysitter, but recognize that you're going to go and it's going to be the same old thing. And just sort of be okay with that. But then, like Kristen says, cast your lure elsewhere.
Yeah.
Volunteering, I love that idea, because you do find someone who's very like-minded.
Yeah. Yeah. And good luck to you. I mean, it was hard to read your letter, Ernestine, because it hit close to home with me, you know, when I was newly back in my hometown and a new mom and stuff. It seemed like everybody was already locked into friendships.
Right.
And I was like too late to have close friends, and it was a really lonely time for a year or two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I started going to the library, toddler story time. And that's where I met my first friend in Durham. And, you know, it wasn't true. Not everyone is spoken for.
Right. Absolutely.
And I'm still friends with that mom that I met at Toddler Story Group, even though our children are elderly now.
Elderly.
Joss Day.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's time. We got a really good embarrassing personal problem.
I'm excited for this embarrassing personal problem, mostly because it's not mine.
Yeah. For one, it didn't happen to either of us, which is shocking. And for two, it just hits all the right notes for me.
As well, it hits all
the 10.
So she writes, "Hi ladies, I just have to share this story from when I was a mere 14 years old. I hadn't had my period for too long at this point, and therefore was still fumbling around with sanitary pads with little grace. One day at school, I was there in the bathroom stall unwrapping my Stay Free maxi pad." She's taking me back, man.
Okay. Let's just, for you younger listeners, those things were like canoe sized. Also, quite helpful in case your plane goes down, you can float on the ocean.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. They weren't playing.
Okay, so she's in the bathroom stall unwrapping her Stay Free maxi pad, finished my business, and then poof, it was gone. Where did the damn pad go? I looked everywhere in a panic, nowhere to be seen. I couldn't figure it out, so I just unpacked another one. Fast forward to the sink, and as I'm saying hello to a senior girl who lived up the street, I noticed in the mirror that my pad was stuck to my very 80s knit vest. It's fabulous. I was mortified. A huge, thankfully unused maxi pad lay striped across my chest. I wanted to die. Never again would I make that mistake. Can you say tampons, anyone? And this is why, young people, we use tampons, or that lovely cup now. You use a lovely cup. This is why.
You have us to thank.
Yes.
We paved the way for you to reach feminine hygiene products. Those Stay Frees. So they're called Stay Free. Let's go back in time.
All right, go ahead.
Boodily, 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 boodily. No more wine for me. So Stay Free, it stayed free of pins.
Because, that's right.
Yes, that's what our mothers endured.
That's what my mother endured, and that's what she tried to teach me. And I was like, no. Here's the
also, safety pin. There was like a harness that you put around your waist or something.
With the safety pins and the whole
pins and a chastity belt / maxi pad. No. Okay. So yeah, you used to pin your pads in place.
Right.
And then Stay Free came up with the great idea of stickiness, right?
Yeah.
Just adhere to your panties. But they were never sticky enough.
They weren't, and they moved around a lot.
Right around, you know.
And, you know, you never got enough coverage.
There was no, like, moisture wicking materials back then. It was just basically, like, a wad of toilet paper.
Yeah, you didn't dare wear a light-colored pant.
No. You had to have a T-shirt that hung past you, or a sweatshirt that went past your butt.
Nice.
I don't care how hot it was.
I had to.
I also, my Stay Free experience, the blood used to travel.
Yes, mine too.
I would get like a spot on my back, like I had just had an amputated tail or something. Yes. Like that.
Me too. I remember someone came up behind me and was like, "What happened? You have a blood stain on your back." And I was
someone stabbed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be more dignified to say, yeah, like, I think I've been stabbed, shivved in the girls' room, rather than saying, it's the bleepin' Stay Free maxi pad, funneling blood to every part of white clothing that I have.
Tampons were a revelation. I will tell you, young people, tampons were a revelation. The little cup was fabulous. I was able to use that little cup for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
The little silicone cup. Love that thing.
No, I see. That's I went through a blissful menopause at 48. So yeah.
No, I still had in the little cup. My God, you could wear whatever you wanted to wear.
I the wow. Cup. Yeah. So you're yeah. welcome.
Yes.
Listeners.
Yeah.
No bloody tail stumps for you.
Right.
No Stay Free yeah. maxi pads on your chest.
Because right.
They slipped and slid around.
I mean, you stand on our shoulders.
Yeah.
Save the way.
Send us your embarrassing personal problems, listeners. We love them. We cherish them. We feel seen. We feel less alone in the universe. And we appreciate you listening.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends.
Forever.